I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom, that's Lotus, and you guys know who we are. We're here to talk about the lore of the Elder Scrolls, and this week, Lotus, we're talking about some very mysterious people.
Yeah, this is weird because it's like a transition off of...
locations?
Locations, yeah. But also sort of still involving a specific location.
Right.
Leads into a specific... guild?
Right. Well, group? so all of the lore kind of intersects other lore, right? So it's hard to like take something apart and categorize it as one thing without kind of bleeding into other topics. So we've gone through all the major locations. We're going through these other like more specific and interesting locations like Blackreach, which we recently went over. And I was like, well, what about Arteum? Island of Arteum, Psijic Order. I'm sure there's some really interesting lore there. But I was like, wait, we haven't done the Psijic Order. So you can't do the island that they make disappear without explaining about them first. So we're going back to different factions, I guess. And I'm sure there are some factions that we really haven't covered. But let's talk about the Psijic Order because these guys are super cool. They show up a few different times in the games. And they seem to have magic and abilities and a mystery surrounding them that isn't ever fully explained. There's a lot that's just kind of hinted to. Go ahead.
All right. So one thing that I figure it's worth bringing up is they're an incredibly old order in the series. However, they're relatively new in the series from a game perspective, if that makes any sense.
Right.
So we never actually encountered the Psijic Order. We like got a little taste of it in Skyrim, and then they did a great job of kind of like fleshing it out and making it much, much more in the Elder Scrolls Online. Prior to that, it kind of was just like non-existent, even though they were
mentioned
there.
Yeah, mentioned in the lore. So like the Monomyth is one of those classic old books. And it mentions the Psijics, and it's one of the only locations I can find that even refers to them in this weird name. So most places write
yes,
Psijic.
This is my favorite.
Right, P-S-I-J-I-K-I-C. And some locations will, you know how this stuff goes. Sometimes they write the name slightly different in certain places, whether that's an intentional or an accident, who knows. But sometimes they'll write it with two I's after the J. And in this Monomyth, which is one of the oldest books in the series, it goes way back, the Psijic Order is mentioned, but it is spelled the Order of P-S-J-J-J-J. This is like a Kirk Brydian kind of thing, right?
That's my favorite. It's just so ridiculous.
Like the Order of Psijic. Like, what is that? And then I was curious. I was like, does the word Psijic sounds like it's Greek for something or Latin maybe? And so I did a little bit of digging on that as well. And I was like, okay, what is Psijic? What is the word origin of Psijic? What's the definition? The only things that come up are Elder Scrolls links. That's it.
Yeah.
It is not one of those words where they took it from some other actual meaning in language and worked it into their world. Like, like the Oblivion Realm of Apocrypha, right? Like Apocrypha is a real word. It means a thing. It's used in biblical studies. Like that is a word. And I was like, well, Sijik might be like that. Nope, it's not. It is a word that they made up that feels like a very real world thing, but I can't figure out what it is. So props to them for that. But let's get into it a little bit. We've got the UESP wiki article, which is they do a great job. This article on the Sijik Order is particularly well written and draws a lot of connections across the board to their involvement with different interesting people and locations and things like that. So here, let's dig right into it. The Sijik Order is the oldest monastic group in Tamriel, devoted to the study and practice of mysticism, which they call the Old Ways or Elder Way. They make their home on the Isle of Artaim in the Somerset Archipelago. They have often been criticized for hoarding their knowledge, in turn mocking other scholars for not seeing their way. So immediately right out of the gate, mysterious group, oldest monastic order. Now, when we're talking oldest monastic order, we are going back to the time of the settling of the Somerset Isles.
Right. We're talking real old.
Real old. Yeah. So like this is before the division of the different groups of elves. If you follow that theory that they divided and spread out across the continent, this is very, very early. The Altmer, like that whole transition there. And then there was this order. And some of what is going on in Altmer society at the time is there is a restructuring, a social and religious restructuring, where they have defined which gods they will worship. Who are the Aedra and who are the spirits that they worship, and who are the Daedra, the ones that they don't worship, or who are the ones that they think they descended from, and who are the ones who are not included in that. But there is a group very early on, this is pre-first era, where they were like, no, we're not going to change from the old ways. We're going to worship the things that the gods and beings, ways of mysticism, types of magic, maybe even, that got cut out when the Altmer society decided that there was just this one little circle of things that was okay and everything else was out. So this is like the initial group, Lotus, of like rebels, but in a like they're more conservative.
I know
the regular Altmer.
I know they're rebels who wear monocles to the meetings. It's very awkward because they're like they're the outliers, but they're, you know, we always joke that the Altmer and stuff like that are snooty and stuff like. It's like this is like a level of snooty in that regard that's like super above the normal, which is really odd, because usually when you think of like a rebel group, it's more of like, oh, well, this is too constricting and we want to like open things up. And with theirs, it's like, no, this seems to be more organized,
more limited.
They're very, you know, the biggest thing of like a lot alluded to earlier is the amount that they hoard knowledge. Like it's kind of, you know, in the year from A.S. Mora, like there's a lot of interesting parallels in that regard where it's just like, it seems like they're just like, nah, this is ours. Like, I don't think you're worthy to actually know this. It's just like, it's very condescending in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But so what I'm gathering from the history of how this all kind of played out is that there were the people who were in control, the elves that were in control of Altmer society, and they decided to create basically this boundary that they were going to decide which beliefs were okay and which beliefs were not okay. And usually when that is done in historical contexts, it's done for power. You're consolidating power. You're putting the people who follow you on the inside and you're putting everyone else on the outside. And the Sijik Order seems to have realized that that was a political and a social decision, not an actual decision based on reality or the nature of the world out there, because they seem to have already tapped into a lot of what that actually means through their study and their knowledge and their connection to magical forces that we don't even understand. And so it's like they're going, yeah, no, you guys are doing this all for the wrong reasons. We're going to stick to the things we know because we know that they're true. You can't just politicize the world into a different direction and just throw out all these other truths.
Right.
So that's not very popular when you're trying to fit into society.
That's true. Yeah, it's... it was mentioned actually earlier in chat that like it's kind of like they really are sort of like the joking to our real life parallel of like the Illuminati. It's like, oh, how much do they control and stuff? And it seems like this type of order, except it's a concrete thing like so many things are in this world.
Right.
And it seems like that's sort of what they want to be, even if that's not always what's able to happen. But it's just like this overarching power that they decide what's okay and not okay and what should be distributed, not distributed, et cetera, which is just, it's a very creepy idea to have just looming over all of Tamriel. And we haven't even gotten into the creepy factor of like, well, I assume we'll move into that in a minute, but like the creepy factor of like, even where they live, we mentioned that it's like part of the Somerset Isles, but like, even that isn't just normal because, you know, not everybody should even be able to see where they live. It's like,
right. So it, okay. It is very mysterious. It's very guarded. Now, is that because they are trying to be elitist and different, or is it because they are guarding some very important and powerful secrets that they just, the average person really should not be.
Sure,
tapping
and to
into.
A degree, they might mean well in many regards. If it's like, well, yeah, we're doing this for the general safety, like, because there are some situations when you encounter them, the idea is not to just be like, oh, well, we just don't want people to have this. In many cases, it's like, okay, this is like really concerning if this gets out. We need to like really like try to keep this under control so said thing doesn't go haywire, cause these problems.
Right.
It provide way too much for a group that could be trying to do it for nefarious purposes and stuff like that. So it's, even though we've kind of like alluded to the fact that they're very, you know, hotty totty. I don't know what you want, like this guy well, describing all these weird ways of describing them.
Yeah.
There might be also, it's not just to be a set of douchebags, like they might be trying to do well, even if their approach is a little insufferable in some ways.
Sure. Well, I mean, think about anything. Like if you do something for a career for a long period of time, and in this case we're talking about elves, they live a much longer life than you or I do. If you're doing something for a long period of time and you are an expert at that thing, then you're going to find anybody else's opinions about the thing you do kind of quaint and simple. And you can be nice about it and be like, well, there's a little bit too more to it here. Let me share a little bit of my knowledge with you. Or you can kind of be a jerk about it. But that still doesn't, neither of those methods, just even let's say you choose the jerk method, that doesn't mean your information is wrong. It just means that you could have been nicer about the way you handled it.
Yeah, you might have just handled it like a douche.
Right. And sure, you know, I can see that like, from a certain perspective, if you have a more clear glimpse of reality and the true dangers and perils and how to deal with those things,
right,
then you're probably going to have a certain opinion about people who don't or think they do and are spreading false information. So
sure, which that has a lot of parallels to real life oftentimes.
sure. So let's talk about some of their secretness. Order, the way they choose their members is, quote, by a complex ritualized method not understood by the common people, which totally makes sense because they have an understanding of things that nobody else does. So how is everyone else going to understand what they're going to do to choose those members? And the membership over time has been very limited. And there are ages of the world where the membership was actually very small, like a dozen and a half people or two dozen people.
Right.
And then the numbers swelled again into the Fourth Age, which is actually right before the Oblivion Crisis and then into the Fourth Age, which is interesting because their magic not only has something to do with this mysticism, but there's a certain sense of they have some control over time. They have a little bit of foreknowledge of things that will happen before they actually do. They have power over the nature of reality. And we've seen that in magic in the Elder Scrolls. A lot of people try to have power over the nature of reality. We've even talked about the towers being a source of power that controls the reality around those towers.
Yeah, exactly.
But to have that among individuals in a specific order of people, and like you were saying, with the ability to even make their island disappear, There are periods of time, and it happens at least two different times in history, in the early ages and then in the fourth age, where the island just disappears. And usually the justification is they have some sense that something's going down and they're protecting themselves. They need to get off the grid.
It's like, okay, we gotta get out of here, because if, you know, our stuff is compromised, for example, it's like, well, that's going to be a way bigger issue than us being able to observe or interfere when the situation suits us, as opposed to, you know, say they're just chilling out in the Somerset Isles on Arteum, and it's just like, oh, you know, for the sake of a series villain, the Slowed decide, hey, it's Slowed time, and they attack island.
It's Slowed time, everybody.
But like, that if they remove themselves from that whole situation, that is no longer an option, at least in theory. I mean, there's magic flying all over the place throughout this series, so, you know, I'm sure there's ways around it, but at least to most, it wouldn't be as easily accessible.
Right. Now, the way they appear changes over time as well. I find this interesting. In the earliest recordings of them, they were often known as gray cloaks. They would wear gray as their main color. But the colors seem to change with time and don't seem to be identified by like the Psijic Order having a certain color scheme. And so everybody who's a part of it has to wear a uniform or anything like that. By the second era in ESO, we see more like blue and gold. And then by the fourth era in Skyrim, we see like the few characters we meet are wearing like a pale yellow and more of these like tans and leather type colors.
It definitely shifts a bit. And it's interesting because like one of the things, and probably because I've played so much ESO recently, the blue and gray, it's actually part of, there's a Tales of Tribute deck in the game. The Psijic deck is a blue and gray. They tend to have a lot of blue and gray. But like you said, there's other color schemes. Right. So it's not like a uniform or anything like that.
Well, and it may have been a uniform color scheme for that very specific period of time. And then over time, it just kind of changed, or there were different. I mean, we're talking about an organization that has lasted over four ages of the world.
Yes.
So, like, you can imagine plans for what they're wearing and how they organize are probably different in different parts of
history. Right. And one of the things that I actually think is very cool for them is their house banner, which you can just see. It's like at the top of the UESP itself. Mm-hmm. if you decide to look it up at any point, people, it's just like, It's a pretty cool symbol or whatever, but it's like this gray banner and it's got, again, like a light blue emblem on the front of it, which is like the color scheme throughout ESO for the most part. And it gives this, to me, it definitely gives off like a weird mystical vibe, kind of like the background for your set right now, if you're watching.
I very specifically chose all the blue and because it feels kind of Psijic-y, at least
in ESO. Yeah, it's a little ethereal, like, yeah.
Yeah. So we also know that they pop up during times of turmoil. They seem to be trying to do good when they can, but they also stay out of politics a lot. They're still very mysterious.
Yep.
And they have this way of just kind of like showing up where they need to be in order to try to adjust the world in a certain direction, and then they kind of disappear again.
They
do that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the game came out in 2011 at this point, but without overtly trying to spoil the Mages or the College of Winterhold quest line, their input in that quest line is pretty important, and it's for the sake of trying to help, not like a, hey, we're here to just prove how great we are. Like, there's a lot, you know, the idea there is that they are trying to lend a hand when it is needed, and it's their choice to come through their portal in that situation and like provide what's needed, and then kind of like zoot, peace out. Okay. Right. You don't deal with them again after that. It's a very limited interaction in Skyrim with them.
Yeah, in Skyrim, they're not pulling for the Nords or the Empire. They're not pulling for the Thalmor. They are very distinctly separate from all of that.
And highly neutral.
Highly neutral. probably because they have an understanding about the way things play out in ways that we don't. Yep. And they're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
Right. And oftentimes, as much as it tends not to be the way that battles are fought, but it's rare that either side of a conflict is entirely correct.
Right.
So like usually it's some type of medium that would be the best solution. So, you know, when you have two factions, like, you know, during the war in Skyrim, both sides are not looking like they don't want to compromise. That's not the objective of the Stormcloaks or the Imperials. That's not it. Whereas in terms of like the Sijix, it's like maybe we should make some concessions here and like maybe maybe we like balance things out for the best, and you know, a little of both might be the answer. But yeah, obviously that's, you know, a lot harder to.
Well, that seems to be the what most of the time, and I'm making broad assumptions here.
But let me just say black and white,
most of the time cooperation leads to being able to take on the real problems in ways that conflict doesn't allow.
Correct.
Another way to look at this is the powers in our world, be they colonial or political, often like to divide the people who are underneath those powers, because if they're fighting each other, they can't band together to actually deal with the real problems.
Right, exactly. And it's like, is that always the case? No, as we constantly bring up with this show specifically about this series, things are in a lot of shades of gray. It's very rarely black and white. It'll happen every now and then, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah. So, all right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go thank our patrons. We will be back in just a minute, but we're going to go through kind of a quick timeline and some of the individuals and groups that were affected by or influenced by or whatever. And I think you might be a little bit surprised. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our new patrons, and it's been 2 weeks because I was on vacation last week, but then I came back for the Starfield Direct and quickly did a Starfield Lorecast episode, which I dropped on the feed. So I hope you all enjoyed that.
It's been a while since the previous one.
Yeah, well, we'd kind of been on and off, and then there wasn't much news. And so now we are back. In fact, we earlier today just recorded a new episode. So we've got two episodes, one that came out already, another one going out only on the Starfield Lorecast feed. So if you are interested in Starfield, and I would highly recommend that if you are a fan of Bethesda games at all, go look at the Starfield Direct, go to my Robots Radio YouTube channel, look at our reactions to it, or listen to that episode. Lots of awesome stuff coming. It totally blew us away. And if you're going to be playing the game, then go listen to the Starfield Lorecast. But it's been 2 weeks, so we have some new patrons. We have Christopher D, Jan Z, Caleb S, Jared E, Sampo P, Joshua M, Peyton F, Northern Loon, and Miroslav F. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for being here and supporting the show. And big thanks to all 123 of our current patrons, including our Daedric Princes who get shout outs every week, Jacob K., Kirisi, and Noodle El Dente. Thank you for your support. We can't do this show without you. We genuinely appreciate your support and for being here, because you are what makes this happen. Everyone who listens to the show, and especially our patrons and people who leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts, will get read out on future episodes of the show if it's a 5-star review. And we don't have any new ones of those that have popped up in my feed right now, but if you drop one in there, we'll definitely read it out in the future. So if you're interested in joining us on the Patreon, checking out all the different things you can get, like t-shirts. I know people are getting their hoodies and stuff. We have hoodies.
Saw a couple of those.
T-shirts.
Very cool.
Very cool stuff. Ad-free episodes. Any little bit absolutely helps. Go to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast and go check it out. And thanks for all the support. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, let's go through the timeline. I'm going to read out certain sections from the UESP, and then, like we normally do, we read it out, and that's a jumping off point, and then we add some other information, some other perspectives on it. So, the early years, the Order was founded during the early settlements of the Somerset Isle by the Aldmer to Divine Padme's, divine being a verb here, to Divine Padme's eternal and ever-changing mystery. So, their whole goal initially was, what is Padme? How do we know more about Padme? Treating him as just as ineffable an entity as Anu, naming themselves after Siji, which was a derivation of his original name, PSJJJJ. Deep lore cut there. Anu's original name was PSJJJJ. I don't think I'd ever written that anywhere else.
That is weird.
Yeah, so they're named after Anu. That's Padme's original name is PSJ. That's what it's referring to. So they're named after the Padmaic order is really what that means. During this time, there was a movement to change the religion of Aldmer society. Instead of pure ecumenical, that's the way you say that word, ancestor worship, the Aldmer of Somerset began worshiping only the ancestors claimed by the elite of the Aldmeri society, like we were discussing before, from which the traditional Aldmeri pantheon of Aedra emerged. A group of dissident Aldmer elders rejected this change and left Somerset to settle on the nearby Isle of Arteum. And, this is interesting. The order was first mentioned in writing in the year 1E20, the 20th year of the first era, by the Breton sage Vornet, who traveled to Arteum to meet with the Sigic Rite Master Iachesis, I think is how you pronounce that.
I always said Iachesis.
Iachesis,
but again, my pronunciation, highly suspect. You reading out the Patreon subscribers compared to me reading them out on Tales, I'm going to go with your pronunciation sometimes, because
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I'm well known for my pronunciation skills of names.
Neither am I. Talk to my Lord of the Rings Lorecast listeners. Oh my God, I'm so bad. In these early days, Sijiks were described as counselors to royalty and teachers of the Elder Way, a philosophy of meditation and study related to the magic of mysticism. And this is the beginning of the conversation about how their magic is probably a step away from the normal magic that we're seeing. There's something else going on here. They're tapping into some other source beyond just like regular magic that comes from the light of the sun and the moon and the star, or you know, any of that weirdness, because there's all sorts of weirdness around that. They also kept the entrance of the Dreaming Cave a portal to oblivion. Sothisil, who was an honorary member of the Sijiks, and not all of the Sijiks were Altmer, Sothisil obviously wasn't, but they did bring in members from across the, you know, all the different races, and Sothisil himself, an honorary member, used this portal to speak to the Daedric Princes on several occasions. It kind of makes sense that Sothisil would be part of this organization, or at least be connected to it.
Tangentially related. Yeah. It's got to have some connection for sure.
Yeah. So this is interesting, because this section goes into the whole disappearing of the island, but also some individuals whose names should be familiar to you. Years later, the now famous Vanus Galarian came to Artaeum with an Altmer soothsayer. Here, Vanus met Manny Marco, a fellow student at the time. We get a lot of the story about how this all is connected in ESO. So if you're interested in playing through some of those storylines, this stuff is very detailed in that. The two grew to become great friends. They became masters of the mystic arts, but after long years, Galarian discovered that Manny Marco was using mysticism to manipulate souls and the dead. Disgusted by this act, which was considered profane, Vanus confronted his longtime friend below the Sephora Tower. Sephora? Kepora?
Isn't Sephora a, like...
Sephora... That's
I
like,
think Sephora is like a makeup? Beauty supply place. Yeah.
The beautiful tower.
Perfect.
Galarian begged Manny Marco to repent, but his pleas fell on deaf ears. Manny Marco and the Sijiks who agreed with his practices left Artaeum never to return. Galarian himself went on to found the Mages Guild. That's where you recognize the name from. An organization which spread the knowledge and practice of magic much further than the Sijik Order had. And you can see these two different ideologies, right? Manny Marco is all about getting power for himself. And how did he become so powerful? He was tapping into the mysticism of the Sijiks initially and expanding his power out like that. Vanus Galarian was going, okay, the way the Sijiks are working is creating these like evil villains. Why don't we normalize the use of magic and teach people how to control it in a healthy way? And then created the Mages Guild. So you have the division, both of those kind of coming off the Sijik Order, but neither of those things meant that the Sijik Order was gone. It was still doing its thing, just with neither of those two individuals from that point on. What do you think about that, Lotus?
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's really cool. It's like the foundations of Manny Marco's like power, yeah, and the Mages Guild and all of that stuff.
They're so intertwined with so much, which is funny because it's so, like we said, it's so behind the scenes, but it's so attached to so many things that you deal with all the time.
Yeah.
Like as I mean, how often is Manny Marco a villain in the series?
Like, like every other game. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, this is what I mean. It's like, it's just, there's little connections to this group pretty much everywhere. And it seemed like until the recent couple of games, they haven't overtly kind of made it a thing.
Yeah, yeah. So then there's a whole section that goes into all of the events of ESO. You can play through all of that stuff, Somerset Isle expansion, all of that stuff. We're not going to spoil a lot of that. That would be its own episode to dig into that some more. So we're going to leave that for now. But there's this section that says changes in politics. The Order's influence waxed and waned over the next several centuries. According to legend, in the Third Era 110, the Sijik Order magically created a freak storm that led to the defeat of Orgnum by Emperor Antiochus and the King of Somerset. This is highly unusual, as the Sijiks have rarely participated directly in wars or other political conflicts, and it's been suggested that Queen Patima, or Potima, whatever you pronounce that.
Patima,
manipulated the order into taking action for her own purposes. Emperor Uriel V was much influenced by the council in the earlier days, in his early days, most glorious parts, for the more glorious parts of his reign, before his disastrous attack on Akavir. We talked about Uriel V and the attack on Akavir and getting stuck maybe over there, and maybe is still alive, we don't know. Like, that whole thing also tied to the Sijiks and their abilities to influence, or his abilities to find influence from them. But it's this weird thing where, like, one, they were being more political during this era, it seems, or were manipulated by these powerful people, and two, they seem to have the power to control things like storms at a distance. So again, that whole manipulating of nature thing going,
yeah,
on?
That's, I don't know. That seems like a pretty handy power to have, especially because you see it oftentimes with the Maurmer. They tend to have like that type of sea magic or stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me that.
That's a form of mysticism, maybe.
Right.
Maybe what they're digging into is the same mystical foundations that the Sijiks understand.
And, you know, what with this group kind of being outside the normal quarrels and stuff like that, would it seem incredibly out of the ordinary if there was a Maumer in their ranks? No, not really.
Or if they hadn't studied them and learned from them.
Yeah, or exactly. So it's like, yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Or that the Maumer broke away from that Altmer lineage early enough and took some of that knowledge with them. That could be part of it.
Yeah, that could be a thing too.
Darth in chat says, do you think Dagoth Ur would have been a part of the Order if he woke up a little earlier? I get the sense that he was much more of a, like, if only to just get the information and then leave them. Like,
yeah, he seems like a Marco situation.
Yeah, not much of a team player, I don't think. but maybe, I mean, they were still around then. Who's to say that he didn't actually gain some knowledge from them in some indirect way? You know, stole knowledge somehow. So after Uriel the Fifth, the last four emperors don't have a whole lot to do with the Psijiks. They kind of separated and disconnected, right?
Yeah.
Then the activities of the Order during the Fourth Era are still a mystery. This is the part where it gets into Skyrim, and we're going like, what's actually going on here? So that leads us to the second disappearance of Artaim. The first disappearance of Artaim happens way early in the histories, and then the second one happens in the Fourth Era. The Psijik Order and Artaim vanished again around the turn of the second century of the Fourth Era. The exact reason for the island's disappearance is still unknown, but it coincided with the Void Knights and the start of a new wave of expansion for the Aldmeri Dominion, which we know they're not in lockstep with the Aldmeri Dominion at all, right? What is known is that at least some members of the Order are still observing events in Tamriel. When the Eye of Magnus, these are the events in Skyrim, was discovered by members of the College of Winterhold in the Fourth Era 201, a few Psijiks assisted a college member in wrestling control of the artifact from a Thalmor agent, going so far as to arrive in person to retrieve the Eye. And if you play through Skyrim, you've played through these events. So that particular point is pretty interesting. This whole, why are they so interested in the Eye of Magnus? What are they doing? And like you mentioned before, they're very neutral, but they show up in this very, very conflicting time period with all this other crazy stuff going on, but they seem very focused on this one thing.
Yeah, no, it's weird because it just makes me think of Futurama with like the neutral planet there, but it's like they're like aggressively neutral most of the time. Like they will go out of their way to stay out of situations, and it is really weird when they actually pick a side, like with the Orgrim battle that you had mentioned. Right. That was like one of the very few where it's like, oh my god, they actually like decided something needed to be dealt with overtly. So right. It's just like it's interesting when something becomes such a concern that they actually step in, as opposed to just observe casually from a distance.
right. And I didn't note the time of the first disappearance. This is around the second era 230s at some point is when the island first disappears. And then by the events of ESO, which is like 582, they're still dealing with that whole thing. So it kind of plays into that. So in the middle of the beginning of the second era and then the beginning of the fourth era, island disappears. Something's going on. They're like, nope, we're out. Poof, gone.
Right.
Weird, right? Like, what else is going on with them? I have a feeling there's a lot of stuff they know that we don't know, and maybe the people behind the scenes, the writers at Bethesda, have a sense of it, but haven't really fleshed it all out.
Highly likely.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
We're just giving these little windows into, like, they've probably written, like, you know, a multi-page thing about like, oh, here's what the Psijik Order was doing behind the scenes. This is why they wanted the Eye of Magnus. And we just don't tell any of the players this stuff yet.
Right.
So maybe we'll get more info in the next Elder Scrolls. Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
And just, you know, whenever that may be.
Whenever that may be.
Whenever that may be.
So we've talked about their powers and a little bit of how they use what's normal, seems like normal magic, but then they tie in this mysticism stuff. And there's a section here, I thought this part was particularly interesting. The Psijic Order has at least 863 archives and libraries, not including the Rite Master's personal collection, with most of these being in quasi-planes and hermetic mind spheres. Do you have a hermetic mind sphere? How do I get one of those?
I kind of want one, whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, within these archives.
You think they sell them in the Bethesda store?
I hope so. That's what the stash boxes are. Oh. They're hermetic mind seals. And then
obviously
Gizargo or whatever his name is like, yeah, yeah, sure. It's good to see you again, my friend. Here, let me open this hermetic mind seal and give you 4 or maybe 5 cards. That's how he talks, right?
I don't know. I've never got a crate.
You've never gotten a crate? Even
I've
like
never bought one. No,
no, but even like a drop? Some of
those drop ones, I actually kind of just remember those exist when people point out on stream. That
but you've
like,
opened one of those before, right?
And but it's like you can skip him. So I don't I've ever heard him talk.
Yeah. Now you know.
Now I need to.
No, right? You don't go listen to it. Just trust me that that's exactly.
Oh, all right. So that's exactly what he sounds like. Oh, I'll just play that. Yes. Okay, perfect.
This is Gizargo. This is your crate.
Also, I'm pretty sure Gizargo is just from Skyrim.
Isn't Gizargo's from Skyrim? I couldn't think of the name of the crate guy. It's something similar to that. Help me out, chat. I don't remember names very well. I'm so bad at names. Anyway. This part goes on. It says, within these archives, texts related to Azra Nightwielder have been tampered with by shadow magic, making most references to the shadow mage unreliable. So there's a whole lot of wacky weirdness going on. This part's really interesting. The Psijics have shown a special love of animals. They have created a breed of intelligent pig known as the Psijic Domino Pig. I believe I have one of these as a pet in ESO. Do you have one of these, Lotus?
Yes.
Yeah, they can also create Psijic beasts, creatures conjured in the shape of their conjurer's desired creature form. They're distinguishable from common fauna by having arcane body prints that the order's monks use themselves. These are some of the other things you get out of crates if you ever open a crate, which Lotus doesn't do, I guess.
I get the free ones.
Yeah, I don't think these guys are in the free ones. These are in the pay ones.
No, I know that you can get a little pet and a mount from the free ones, and I've never gotten either of those.
Yeah, I've gotten both.
Yeah.
From drops.
Nope, I have not.
Yeah, I feel like they need to put more in those like basic crates, because otherwise it's just like,
well, they've been the same more healing potions since they were put in, aren't they? Yeah, I was going to say they're just crown gems, pretty much. You just destroy whatever you're given and just move on.
That's basically it. Anyway.
Ah, Paracuti.
What? Pacruti? Oh, it's Pacruti. It's Pacruti. Welcome. Welcome, friend. Pacruti says you will get wonderful things. That's right. Pacruti. Thank you, Outlander Frog. Outlander Frog News. Pacruti. Gizargo's close to Pacruti. There's just like almost one letter that's the same.
No, I was going to say, it's like, what if it's Gi-Paracruti?
Gi-Paracruti. No, I'm just getting like bad Italian accent. Okay. So, yeah, we've got some weird Psijic stuff going on. And really the story with the island is it's where they live. They've got this wonderful little complex that you go down, you use the portals. So my assumption, you know what, as I'm saying this now, I don't know how accurate this is. You go to the island, right? And it's got like in ESO, it's got like those beams above it, like a barrier you can see in the sky. Right. And then have you ever looked up in Arteum?
I mean, it just looks like a really, I guess maybe I don't
look at the skybox. Look at the skybox.
The skybox is like,
because you can see magic
hyper morning,
but you can see magic like maybe in the skybox. You can see like barriers that are separating the island from what's outside the island.
Okay. Oh, am I just not thinking of that? I guess I don't notice that offhand.
They're like transparent.
I'm not noticing. That's
it's like transparent magic beams, like blocks.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you can see them up in the sky. But then you go to like where the Psijic spaces, right? It's kind of like this, what seems like an underground place. You walk onto a portal and then you disappear and you show up. It's almost like water. It's like a water circle on the ground. Yeah, it's like liquidy. And you go in it and then you pop up in their base. My assumption was that was taking you down into the ground because it's like you go into the liquid. But that may not actually be accurate. That portal, if it's a portal, could probably take you wherever that base happens to be. So it doesn't necessarily mean that that base is on the island. It just means the entrance to the base is on the island.
Yeah, that's true. It could just be in a puffy cloud floating above or whatever.
Right. Or a little machination of, construction, kind of like the Clockwork City. Or it could be on one of the moons for all we know.
Or to anybody who's ever seen the console commands for where Mike the Liar goes in Skyrim, he's got that little box called Elsewhere. Maybe that's where the Psijic Order is. That little box called
Mike the
Elsewhere.
Liar's box. Mike, is the Psijic Order in your box?
This one says possibly.
Well, thanks, Mike. That was great. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it.
Was he lying though, or was he telling the truth by saying possibly?
Both. But the island really isn't that interesting, other than the information about it disappearing and coming back, and it's very pretty. It looks like a Somerset Island. There's like a big mountain kind of in it, and there's little passageways that go up into that.
Yeah, it's smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a small little guy. So. I think that this episode will cover the Psijic Order and the Isle of Artaeum, because there really isn't that much more to say about Artaeum. So there you go, friends. Any other last thoughts?
If you're confused, that just means we did the Psijic Order well.
Yes, because it's very confusing, because we just get these little glimpses into them, and then that's it. We don't know much else. So
I do recommend, because it was brought up in chat, I do recommend if you... don't play ESO or do play ESO and you haven't done the Psijic Order quest line. It came with Somerset. It is a very good quest line. Very well written.
It just takes forever because you're going to go close portals.
I was going to say that was definitely a bit of a learning curve on their quest design structure. It is very, very tedious as a quest design structure. The only thing that powered me through it was that I wanted to see the next part of the story so much.
Right.
So
it really doesn't take that much time, but you have to be very intentional. Here's what they do.
It's just not great.
They're like, there's a bunch of portals and they're in southwestern Tamriel. And it's across three different zones. And you're like, okay. And then you open up a map and it has all of that area with little dots for where the portals might be. And then you have to go to each of those little zones. And each of the zones, let's say you go to Somerset. And I don't remember if Somerset's included in the list, but I'm pretty sure you went to all of them.
I think you went pretty much everywhere.
And there's four or five portals in Somerset. And they're not on your mini map, you just have to run around.
Yeah, they give
and
you
try
a map
to,
with X's.
Yeah, try to match up the map.
An add-on for it was mentioned in chat. But if you're on console, like me as a main, you just look up where to get them.
You just got to go run around, try to find them all, and then you close them, and then you go to the next zone, and you close them. It takes a few hours, and then you get through it. And then you go back, and you're like, cool, I did it. Awesome, right? And they're like, yeah, go talk to this other guy over here in the other hallway. And you're like, go talk to the other guy in the hallway. And they're like, hey, we got more portals for you to close.
Right.
And you just do it again. And then you do it again. And it's just
And it's no, the design of the quests are not great. However, like I said, the story to it is very cool. It fleshed out the Psijic Order quite a bit. It's actually where a lot of the information we were able to present, a lot of the tie-ins come from what is added from ESO. So it's definitely good, but not portrayed in the best way.
Play it on your fastest mount. and run around. And I have an add-on that when you open up the map, it puts it pins it on your screen like a mini map. And so you can see it. And then I've got a mini map one also, so I can kind of tell if I'm in the right area. And then you get a little kind of glows and you're getting close. And then so there's ways to make it easier, but
For sure.
Yeah, that part is kind of a grind. But that's it for the Psijic Order. Lotus, you got anything else going on you want to share?
No, we actually we had a episode of Tales, but then it took a little while to get all fixed up and get out. So we're a little off kilter schedule wise. Hopefully with Father's Day this weekend, on when we normally try to record. We're going to try to squeeze it in over the next day or so. But
you're a dog dad. You should probably take the day off.
Yeah, I was going to say, Boots is in the background just being happy and round.
Round?
Yeah, when she sits still, she looks like a Hershey's Kiss.
Oh man,
but
weird.
But yeah, so hopefully we'll have another episode of Tales for everybody soon enough. And yeah, other than that, I'm just very excited. We get Necrom next week on console. Which is, I really need more time to play video games because I have been enjoying Diablo. I've obviously been enjoying Elder Scrolls Online. I want to get back to Daggerfall because I haven't had any time to stream. And I left off with that. And it's like, I'm still trying to get through that game. It's like, there are not enough hours in the day. Why won't somebody just make it so that I have more hours of free time in my day? Not more hours of stuff that require my attention.
How many more subs do we need to make this full time for you? If we got 10 times the number of subs.
Great. Perfect.
You can go full time with this, buddy.
Great. I'm not going to put that pressure on anybody.
Sweet.
Oh, also, since the last show, I don't think it's kind of hidden in shadow, but anybody that's just chilling on the live feed, I redid my giant nerd shelf behind me. It's very similar, but I had to reposition a lot of stuff because I got so much stuff and I didn't know where to put it. And Hermaeus Mora, that little tentacly blob in the middle, there he is, just chilling. I reorganized everything so that it's designed around him.
Centerpiece.
That statue is intense.
I remember seeing it at Vegas.
The design of it is amazing. Like, the artwork for it is phenomenal. It's definitely their best statue yet. And I'm not just saying that because I simp for Hermaeus Mora, but the thing weighs like 6 pounds.
Wait, your Hermaeus Mora thing isn't like a sexual thing, right?
No.
That's just, tentacles. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I know. A lot of people have the tentacle thing. I think of it more of like a cleaning sponge full of knowledge.
That's amazing. I'm never going to look at cleaning sponges ever the same. All right. Well, go check out Lotus's stuff and no judgment if you've got a Hermaeus Mora sexual thing.
Yeah, people got to think Hermaeus Mora. Hey, you do you. You're not bothering anybody.
Don't hurt anyone else. That's cool. Cool.
Yeah,
me.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do it. Yep. I'm not kink shaming. I'm not kink. I was just confused because it just crossed my mind for the first time that might be why he likes Hermaeus Mora so much.
Nope. Maybe I just yeah, it's good. I don't know. Like I said, I always just think of him as a very large cleaning sponge, just very articulate.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. My face was, I'm learning something new about somebody I consider a close friend that I never would have realized before. That's what the face was. The face wasn't, ew, gross. The face was, is this what's actually going on?
Highly inquisitive.
Right. Like, really? I never considered that. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, no, to be fair, in terms of neutrality, it's another thing. I people always joke that I don't tend to, like, I sit there and listen to sides even when I'm like, it's so apparent that you are not interested in what, you know, that person's argument is. I was like, yeah, but they're entitled to say it, even if I don't like it.
Sure.
I was like, I can listen to it. And I feel like Hermaeus Mora, like, is all about that, and it ties right into the Sigix. They're just listening to everybody's crap.
Right? Yeah, from secret portals and whatever.
Just secret portals just in the side of the room.
Yeah, well, that's Lotus's stuff.
Yeah, and also we have derailed chat.
Yes, man, all sorts of fun things. My stuff's over at robotsradio.net. Like I mentioned earlier, the Starfield Lorecast is now in full swing. Go check it out. If you want, like the episode we did today was about New Atlantis and some of the details that we were able to figure out from the Starfield Direct that weren't mentioned, but are very cool. So go check that out. It's up on whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on, or you can watch the video. It's up on my Robots Radio YouTube channel. So just search Robots Radio YouTube, you'll find it. And thanks for being here, everybody. Lotus, this is fun as usual. Have a wonderful rest of your
always
week.
Always an entertaining night.
Yeah, chat, thanks for being here. You have a wonderful week, and everybody have an awesome time out there in the world doing
enjoy
awesome
Necrom
things.
I was gonna say we all have it by next Tuesday, so yeah,
go play more games because there's definitely a lot of good games to play. All right, we'll see you next time, everybody. See you later.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.